show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports.
Leave one wolf alive, and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. John Reed, Cody McClure. Cam will be here in a couple minutes as we kick off this Tuesday edition of Talk Sports. March 21st. It's the spring equinox, right? Today's the day? Springtime? Is that correct? Or is it 22nd? 21st, right?
I don't know.
You don't know?
What is the spring? What is the equinox?
Basically, it's a change of the season. It's saying that it's springtime now.
I've never heard the word equinox.
Winter is over.
Today is.
Or it was yesterday.
Oh, it was yesterday. Spring equinox.
I guess it's either the 20th or 21st. I thought it was. And then the other ones, I guess, are 21st, 22nd.
I didn't know they called it that. I thought it was just first day of spring.
Yeah.
I thought an equinox was a car.
Well, I guess we missed it. Second day of spring.
It is. It's Chevrolet.
I'm pumped over here. I see that you brought in your own coffee. Well, sort of. Your store-bought coffee. Is that the cold brew?
Yeah, I'm trying something different. MSRP on a 2023 Equinox is $26,000 to $33,000. Can't get anything cheap these days.
This Equinox is a solid car.
Yeah, this is cold brew coffee. I'm trying it live on the air. Am I supposed to shake it?
Is that the type of brand that a listener recommended?
Yeah.
I saw a listener tweet you that he co-signed it.
Somebody tweeted Boomer. That this was the brand Stalk. It's got a little thing over the O.
Yeah.
So I think you're supposed to pronounce it Stalk.
No, I think it's just a symbol that says it's a long O. You're supposed to make the O sound.
Stoke.
No, just Stoke.
Stoke.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I said. Stoke?
No, just Stoke.
Does it not seem Norwegian to you or something like that?
Maybe? That's just a line Viking over it. To me, a Norwegian symbol over the O is a lot different than... No, to me, it has different. To... I feel like it's got like... Yeah, like... Not just a simple line. In my mind.
So we'll just call it Stoke?
Yep.
Stoke.
Stoke
cold brew coffee. I got the unsweet black espresso blend.
Okay.
So this should be the darkest version.
What was the MSRP on that?
On this? This, I think normally it was six something, but it was like, I think it was $5.99 with the Kroger card.
Okay.
So
that's, how many coffees is that?
Well, this is 48 ounces. So a nitro brew,
12 ounces that they give you at the Starbucks, or 16 ounces.
It might be 16.
So at the very least, that's three coffees for the price of one.
Oh, at the very least,
if it's 16 ounces each and there's 48 ounces in there, it's three coffees for the price of one.
Yeah, because the nitro at Starbucks runs me $5.74.
It could be 12 ounces too, so it could be four coffees for the price of one.
Yeah, it could be. It could be. And from what I understand, a serving is 12 ounces, and this is going to give you about 195 milligrams of caffeine per serving.
Okay.
So once I fill this pint cup up.
I'm excited to see you try this.
This will be like, this will be over 200 milligrams of caffeine, which is a good start to the day.
I'm really hoping it's good so that you could cut your coffee spends.
Me too.
Spend in a third. You can go ahead and third it out.
Well, that was my logic, because...
Or you'll probably drink all of it in the same day, and then you'll still be in the same place as drinking three times more coffee. That's also possible.
Even if I do, I'm still saving money.
You are still saving money, but...
just buy this, because...
Well, sort of.
I'm spending $17 or $18
I've been telling you that for 3 months.
Well, I know, but I love the way it tastes.
Yeah.
So if this tastes good, this will be good news.
This could be a big...
Shout out to...
Well, don't shout out yet until you've tasted
whoever
it.
Whoever recommended this.
Well, not yet until you know if you like it. But it's Boomer, good. Shout out to Boomer. He's sipping it. He's letting it sit in his mouth. Uh-oh, he doesn't like it.
Well, it's good.
Oh!
No, it's, I do like it.
All right.
It's different from Starbucks.
Okay.
You can taste more bean.
So it's better.
I mean, first sip, I don't want to overreact here, but...
Yeah. All right.
I mean, you get the hints of chocolate. You get the...
This guy drinks coffee.
A little bit of bitterness, which you like with coffee.
Okay.
This is pretty good.
All right.
This is...
Wow. He's so happy.
I think I'm on the other side.
You can't see it because I don't think the periscope's up that I know of, at least. But
he's good.
The big guy's happy. He's content.
I think...
He has just saved so much money. Thank you, Boomer, for the recommendation.
You should try this. You want to try it?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Espresso with no chill. Well, I've seen these in the store before.
I'm glad you finally made the plunge and bought one.
So, like, I didn't know what brand.
Sure.
And this was not the most expensive brand or the cheapest. So it's like, which is what I like. I like something in the middle. Something that's, you know, they value themselves enough to not be the cheapest you buy, but also they're not gouging you. I like somewhere in the middle. And this was somewhere in the middle. In the cold brew coffee world. I never thought I would be a cold brew guy, honestly. But I am. I'm 100% a cold brew guy now. So this is going to be like over 200 milligrams right here.
All right.
This is good. One of these should last me at least... I think this will last me 2 days. I don't think I'm going to drink the whole thing today. But it's nice to have it on deck.
I'm happy for you.
Yeah.
You just cut your coffee spend by 2/3.
66%.
Yep.
I think that's what that is.
Yep.
Well, it's good to be here. Good to be anywhere.
What a start to the day.
Yeah.
So happy for you.
How are you doing today?
Today I'm fine. Nothing to report.
Fine like my hair.
Nothing to report. Another day closer to the Sweet 16 games. I have booked my one-way flight to Houston for the Final Four. Just in case. Want to go ahead and grab one just in case.
A one-way to Houston?
Yeah.
So you'll never come back?
I plan on coming back. I just don't know when I'm coming back. And plus, I might fly cheap back.
Where does Houston rank on your list of destination cities?
I've always wanted to go.
Why?
It's big. It's southern. I want to drive the same streets that Paul Wall drove in the Still Tippin video. Hmm. I'm going to go let my car swang, listen to some Chopped and Screwed music.
I think it ranks last for me.
Drink some lean.
In terms of major cities.
I would much rather go to Houston than Philadelphia, I think.
See, I'd rather see the Liberty Bell.
Philly, just a bell, bro.
Yeah, I know.
I think I legit think, and it's funny you say that, but I legit think that is, I've seen people say it's like the most overrated thing ever. It's just literally just a little bell, like it's nothing.
Well, yeah, and then their other big landmark is fake because it's from a movie, like the Rocky Steps, you know?
Yeah, I guess I'd go run up the steps.
But at least in Philly, you got cheesesteaks and you got, like, there's history there. It's old. It's an old East Coast city, so there's history. Like, you could probably learn some stuff. I like history, like American Revolution type stuff. You could probably see some of that stuff there.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I feel like I would rather go to Boston if I was going to do American Revolutionary stuff.
Yeah, I think Boston would rank above Philly in terms of that.
So like, if I'm going for history, then I would just drive a little bit further up the road to Boston. That's kind of why Philadelphia ranks lower. To me, it's not.
But lower than Houston?
Well, yeah, because, I mean, like, if I want, like, a nice southern city to try something different. I've never really spent too much time in Texas. Like, when it comes to those type of cities, I mean, I've been to Atlanta many times, so, like, Houston's kind of next on that list, I would say.
I feel like Houston's just like Atlanta.
It might be. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. Actually, I've been to Houston, but I just passed through on the way to Galveston.
I just want
to
see what Houston, I just want to see what Texas is talking about.
I did like Galveston. It's not far from the ocean, Houston.
Okay.
Close enough that it flooded during Hurricane 2017.
Now, with all that being said, I booked a one-way flight, and if we make it to this Final Four and lose on Saturday, I would fly out first thing Sunday. But nope, enough of this town.
Out of Houston.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
like, I could fly there for 260 out of Atlanta with my buddy, and then like you can get back on Spirit for like $60.
Oh yeah.
So I cut the you know, cost in half.
You just got to be a little
malfunctioning. A little janky, yeah.
Yeah. Spirit flights only have one engine.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, if we lost the first game of the Final Four, I might be fine with the plane going down anyways at that time because I'd be sad. It would be within my 24-hour window.
That seems bad. Like, you wouldn't want to die.
I wouldn't want to, but I'd probably be like, hey, if that's the will, you know, if that's God's will, just go ahead and take me down.
Why would God's
will... Please silence
will,
your phone.
Why would God's...
Please silence your cell phone.
I will. Why would
go God, ahead and do it now before many messages start coming through.
Why would God's will be to tear your plane out of the sky?
Because everything happens for a reason.
Are we sure?
Yep.
I feel like most things just kind of happen.
Nope. Nope, everything happens for a reason.
So, Cam being late today?
That happened for a reason that he probably stayed up too late. That was probably the reason. And the purpose now would be to make other people listening thankful for their coworkers that show up on time. So, in our turmoil, there's good for everyone else who's like, wow. So-and-so's not so bad. He shows up on time. He's reliable.
Five messages from Jordan DeGianni.
Yeah. See, I told you.
Thought he was going to get me, but he didn't.
Yeah. That's why I told you to go ahead and pop that off.
What if that was just coincidence and he actually needed me? Maybe he actually needs me. Please text me back. I'm having a heart attack. I don't know why he would text me, though. I'm in a different city.
Maybe he'd just tell you goodbye.
Why is there a Duke basketball on the producer board? Davey, I'm assuming that's a Davey thing. Was he here?
No, Davey's not. Davey hasn't been here. Maybe they did a bit with it since it's a little like it looks flat.
Old and flat, outdated.
Yes, remember they beat the hell out of it. And
I mean,
it was definitely
Davey's ball, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. I'm just saying he didn't bring it in. I don't think he's been in.
You know, I forgot my buddy Mo from back home. He's a Duke basketball fan too. I haven't even been in contact with him since the game, but I bet he was not happy that Tennessee was the team that took him down.
Text him and just say, "What are your current thoughts?" I was getting a text from my friend who's a Duke fan, and he was just complaining about the officiating during the game. I was like, "Are we watching the same game?"
Is your friend's name Jay?
No, his name's Killacam. He texted me, "WTF." Y'all think you're the bad boys? And then I just wrote, time to get down in the mud. This game is for dogs only. And then posted a really sexual pig. That pig, you know, that really like weird pig mask where he's like, and like, look at his lips. I posted that one. And then he said, I mean, it's rugby on hard court. I'd be ashamed if my team had to sink to such low places to win a game.
Are you talking about the pig mask from Saw?
No.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but not that.
That's the only thing I think of when I think of a pig mask.
Can you see?
Oh, yeah. Is that supposed to be sexy pig?
I mean, to me, he's licking his lips, so to me, it's kind of sexy.
Pigs are pretty gross. Jimmy Dyke said there's not one D1 college coach that doesn't wish his team played as hard and as physical as Tennessee.
Look at Big Jimmy.
Not one. And he misspelled Tennessee. I feel like if you're going to misspell Tennessee, it shouldn't be missing the E at the end.
I've seen that happen a lot of times, actually, recently.
All you got to remember is just two letters every time. It's like Mississippi. It's like, I don't know why people can't spell.
Especially with spell check.
I don't understand how people.
Especially if you're a professional. It takes 1 second to Google it to make sure you got it right.
Yeah, you're Jimmy jumping Dykes. I mean, you got to have some pride about your work if you're Jimmy Dykes.
We're in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studio. They take pride in delivering you the freshest, finest flavors. They make all of their White Claw Hard Seltzer with their unique brew pure process. Please drink responsibly, and when you do drink, think of us and have some nice, refreshing White Claw Hard Seltzer. I'll send us to break. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program, Couple days away, Cody.
Yeah.
Couple days away.
Sunday, we get the new Succession season, the last and final season. If you haven't been watching, it's a good program. Speaking of HBO, I started The White Lotus last night, too. I like it a lot. I like everything, I think. For at least the characters.
I've often said that. You like everything when you watch it.
I think.
When's the last time you watched it? I was like, not for me. TV's still related. I don't think I've ever heard you say that.
Sopranos. I thought it was just a little too racist and outdated.
Right.
No. God, I love The Sopranos. I love. Maybe this means I'm not TV guy. Are you supposed to not like some things?
I mean, I think so. Just common sense and averages. Like, not everything's good.
I think I just listen to your opinion, and then it ruins shows for me. Because
that's not true. Every time I tell you a show, you like it.
Well, it's like Yellowstone. I liked it.
I ruined it.
Well,
for you.
I liked it for a little while, and then you kept saying how it's just a soap opera, and then I couldn't get that out of my head. And I'm
watching,
like,
oh my god, John's
this
right.
Sucks. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to ruin that for you.
Yeah. But I don't think of.
I shallow howled you. You were shallow howl. Yeah. You were fine. And then you, I was like, hey, no, wait, these girls are actually all really fat. And you're like, oh my god, they are.
I don't ever think of things in that way. I really do feel like I enjoy every
TV. Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to ruin that for you.
But no, once you say that, though, and then you watch it with that in mind, it's like, yeah, this is really not good TV. Yeah. The writing's not even really good.
Yeah.
So maybe that one, but, I mean, I like pretty much everything I've ever watched.
Still haven't gotten into White Lotus. I've heard really good things. I know I like it. I just haven't made time to watch it yet.
There are some shows that I watch and I don't keep watching. Like maybe it just doesn't hook me enough that I'm in it.
Yeah.
But The White Lotus, I mean, first episode, I'm in it.
Is it The White Lotus? I always just call it White Lotus.
I don't know. It might just be White Lotus.
It might be The White Lotus.
Well, the hotel, I think, is, they call it The White Lotus.
Okay. So yeah, it says it is. Well, yeah, it says The White Lotus. So, yeah.
Well, anyway, we're two episodes in. We started watching last night, me and my landlord/housemate, Miles. And
friend?
Well, yeah, friend, too.
Okay, let's check.
And we watched the first episode and the second episode, and, I mean, I'm already deep in. I've plunged into the show.
Okay.
I really want to just binge it, honestly, and just watch the whole thing. But I don't think that's a healthy way to watch.
Uh-huh.
It's just intriguing because it's, like, awkward. And they keep you hanging on. I mean, they do a great job. And I haven't even seen Christopher Moltisanti yet.
Yeah, I don't think he's until season two, right?
Yeah, I think he's, second season. But the characters, they're very interesting.
Cam, welcome to the show. Show up when you can. No big deal.
Show up when you can.
Show up when you can.
That's what you did there.
Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, that's where I'm going to check.
Hilarious.
Yeah. Hope you're well.
Yeah.
You don't get to do an intro, sorry. We'll just have to catch up with you later.
Oh, come on. He's stuck behind the train. There was a train. Was the train still there?
It was not.
Well, no, of course it wasn't because it moved for me.
Yeah, I was going to say, didn't you say the train blocked you?
Yeah.
Did you blow your cover? Were you not actually behind a train?
No, I was behind a train. It had never been backed up that far. It was backed up almost to, what is that road, Sanderson?
Yeah.
Like I couldn't even turn onto the street, Liberty Street. Train crosses over right there. Middlebrook runs parallel. Liberty Street, the train comes over right there.
What do you have for the story of the day today? Because to me, I think I got one. There's not a whole crazy lot going on, but there's one that caught my eye yesterday, and I would go with just what's going on down in Tuscaloosa.
Okay, Nick Saban.
Yeah, Nick Saban. So like they've suspended Tony Mitchell. Apparently that defensive back, it's come out that he was driving 141 miles per hour.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Very fast.
As he attempted to flee police.
The cops said they lost sight of him.
But they caught him? So, like, he drove really fast, but then they still caught him? Like, how did that work out?
Wow.
Well, I just saw one thing that said that they had lost sight of his car. because, which, you know, 141 miles an hour.
Well, he was driving because he had a bunch of weed on him that was clearly like he was going to try to sell and had a gun on him without a permit.
Right. So I think the moral of this story is it's time to legalize it. And,
yeah,
also, maybe don't drive 141 miles an hour.
I was
going
to say, I don't think I'd ever feel comfortable with legalizing 141 miles per hour driving.
Deputies recovered 226 grams of the devil's lettuce.
226
grams.
Just under 8 ounces. So, like, that's
really not that much.
That's kind of a lot.
I mean, you're definitely with you.
You're definitely taking to sell it somewhere.
Yeah.
It's not like he's got like pounds of weed. He's not like a kingpin, but
right.
It's
local dealer numbers.
Yeah, I mean, 8 ounces probably worth a couple grand.
8 sales. Yeah.
Yeah, a couple grand, right?
I guess not everybody buys an ounce at a time, though.
Right, but I mean, if you sell an ounce at a time, it's like a couple $100, right?
Yeah, it's about.
So, I mean, like eight of those ounces, I mean, it comes out to.
$7,000 in cash, according to the.
So basically, I'd say he had about what they could value at like $9,000 worth of stuff, which maybe keeps him under the $10,000 because I feel like $10,000 is a different threshold. At least it doesn't travel like.
It's the misdemeanor for a lot of like stealing and stuff.
Stealing's $500, right?
Theft under 500, there's theft under like a thousand, and there's like, okay. I think there's like tiers to it.
I didn't think it was that high for 10,000. 10,000 for me, I was just thinking about when you travel abroad. Like, they make you, like, if you're like coming out of the country, into the country, if you have more than $10,000 cash,
it's considered a gift.
No, it's not considered a gift. You have to like report it, though, and explain why you're bringing that much money.
Yeah. There's something that's like $10,000 that's a gift, tax
like
or something?
Taxes, yeah. I think you can gift a little.
Oh, I know what you're talking about, though, because when we were on a cruise back when I was a boy, there was a guy who's a rich guy that went on the cruise, and he had bought a nice watch.
Yeah, and he,
and
like,
he was concerned about the.
But it's $10,000 cut off, I believe.
Yeah.
But yeah, they caught him with 8 ounces of weed, $7,000 in cash. Gun with no permit, and then Nick Saban says he's suspended from the team as they gather information, which I didn't even fully realize that he was just like suspended from the team because like he then takes a stance of like, no, there's no such thing as wrong place in the wrong time, you know, wrong place, wrong time, which is essentially what Nate Oates had said about his Alabama boys,
right.
His basketball boys, and Saban came out and said there's no such thing as that. Which is funny because he's taking this hardline stance whenever he's like, "Ah, this guy's just suspended." Not like, "Hey, we're just kicking him off the team, out of the program." It's just, he's suspended.
Well,
because 141 miles an hour is like where you get dangerous, and you could say that's, you know, putting lives at risk. Like,
oh, yeah.
Weed is one thing, and, you know, decriminalize it. You still won't be able to distribute it like that. So, I mean, like, he's still breaking the law there. But, like, he's not really putting anybody at danger for giving them weed. But when you're driving on the road 141 miles an hour trying to get away from the cops, that ramps things up a little bit, in my opinion.
I wonder if he was trying to catch Henry Ruggs.
Well, I was going to say, and also when you have that in your program, I mean, I know he wasn't at Alabama when it happened, but it, like, is attached to Alabama. Mm-hmm. That was, what, 2 years ago, a year ago? I mean, that wasn't very long ago at all.
No, it wasn't long ago.
It was in the last 2 years.
It's in the last year. It's got to be.
I would say you're right. I would say it's about this time last year.
Yeah, I think it was off season. Yeah, like it was before the season, off season.
So, like, you also have that attached to your program. But I did like Saban coming out and just being like, hey, there's no such place as wrong place at the wrong time. Mm-hmm. And I had talked about it on the show. Like, I wanted to know Saban's thoughts on that because he is Alabama. For better or worse, like, whenever you think of Alabama, even basketball and the school, you just think of Nick Saban. At least I do.
He's the patriarch of the Tide.
He is the most powerful man in the state of Alabama.
Even more powerful than Governor Wallace.
I don't know if his power is at its peak. Like, I don't feel like it's at its peak since, you know, they haven't won a championship in the last couple of years. And, like, they seem like they've gotten passed by Georgia. But he's still Nick Saban, and he still carries a lot of weight. Maybe not as much as he did 5 years ago, but he's still really damn powerful. And, like you said, more powerful than the governor. So I wanted to know what his thoughts were for him being attached to a school and a team that is kind of just, we're sorry it happened, shrugging our shoulders at murder of an innocent single mother, a kid being left without his mother, a family being left to grieve that, you know, some Alabama athletes shot and killed. And I wonder what Nick Saban thought, because Greg Byrne has been pretty much putting out statements too. It's just kind of like, eh. The statement he put out last week was like, first and foremost, we just want to say we are most concerned about the victim. Never lose sight of that. But blah, 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 blah. We're going to say it at the top we care, but then we're going to give you a whole bunch of reasons why we don't. And our fans are going to wear shirts about how we're killing our way through the SEC.
Whoa.
And this fan base is going to become really just unhinged. Chewy. Like it's. No, I don't think that's the right use of chewy.
I think it's pretty chewy to wear that kind of a shirt.
Doesn't chewy mean you're trying to be young? Because I only see old people wear stuff like that.
Well, I don't think it means you're trying to be young. It's just that what you're doing is outdated.
Okay.
By the way, George Wallace is not the current governor
either
of Alabama.
I didn't care.
It's from the past. One Alabama fan says, there's no such thing as being in the wrong place at the wrong time. Yes, like hell there is. Let's discuss our defensive backs trying to cover Jalin Hyatt last October.
Tweet of the day. Tweet of the day.
Oh, yeah, I should have saved it.
But it does kind of represent where their fan base is at. Like, they've spent the last 2 months, or maybe last month, you know, vehemently defending Brandon Miller. And, hey, you know, come on. And then, you know, it's one thing to defend your guy. And who knows, you know, if Brandon Miller was just a victim of his own circumstances of being bullied by his older teammates and wanting to be a good friend. I don't know.
I try to look at it. I try to, you know, be in our shoes. If the shoe was on the other foot, that's what they say. And I definitely would want our guy to play if he murdered somebody.
Well, he didn't do the murdering. I don't think you want the murderer to play, but if it was Brandon Miller, you know, driving a gun to there.
Yeah, if we had a guy that was that good and the shoe was on the other foot, I'd want our guy.
Well, I would hope you would not.
While we're in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, yeah.
I would hope you would not be wearing shirts about killing people, though.
Oh, I wouldn't. But I would fully expect it from someone.
I would hope people in our fan base wouldn't, but you're right. We're a big fan base like Alabama is, so there's probably one knucklehead that would make a joke about it for sure. So
somebody definitely would.
But if you're Nick Saban, that's still unacceptable for you.
To take the time to create two shirts.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean. Just total lack of awareness, I guess. Maybe they thought it would be cute.
Total lack of empathy.
Well, yeah.
Someone's dead. Ha, ha, ha. We're going to kill her under the SEC. Like, come on.
They do it differently down there.
I do appreciate, and, you know, Nick Saban's people, or I guess the SID, or somebody down there came down and was like, hey, we clarified Saban's statements. He was not referring anything with the basketball team, which, if you want to believe that, that's fine. I think Nick Saban is far too calculated and far too savvy with the media to come up there and say that particular phrase without realizing what he was doing. Now, he might not double down and answer a question. Was that in relation to Alabama basketball? Oh, yes, you're damn right it is, blah, blah, blah. Of course he's not going to say that. But I do not buy that it was unrelated. I do not buy that for a second.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, it would be quite a coincidence if he just, you know.
But I do like that here we are ahead of the Sweet 16. And, again, I've told you yesterday, and I'll say it again, I think San Diego State's going to give those boys everything they want on the basketball court. I think that's going to be a dogfight. And now Nate Oates is going to spend the next couple of days just answering questions about what Nick Saban said.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're going to definitely ask him about it. George Wallace died September 13th, 1998.
Oh, so he's been dead. So not only is he not the governor, he's been...
Just 6 days before we defeated Florida.
Oh, okay, so he's just been dead.
For a long time. 25 years.
Okay.
But he's the most famous governor there, you know.
Yeah.
When you think governors in Alabama, you definitely think of him.
Sure. Well, I'm glad we got to the bottom. Who's the governor now?
I think her name's Kay Adams.
A woman, huh?
A woman.
Or is that the hot NFL girl?
Yeah, that's who that is.
It's Kay something. Hang on. Alabama Governor Kay Ivey is her name. She's not nearly as hot as Kay Adams. Did you see Kay Adams was with Bobby Bacala?
No, I didn't.
Who? Steve Sciarrapo, the actor who plays Bobby Bacala.
I didn't see
that. She was at some game or something, I guess, and she took a video, and she's like, I know this guy was in The Sopranos, but I don't know his name.
Oh, no.
And he was just right beside her, and she did like a just quick shot of him where he wasn't looking at the camera, you know?
Yeah.
And people were like, that's Bobby Bacala. You know, Quasimodo predicted all this.
I was watching, I was scrolling my Instagram reels. I used to make fun of women for doing that, women in my life that would just scroll on Instagram and watch all those videos, but I'm a big Instagram reels scroller now.
Are you still watching women getting dressed?
I think I ran out of the end of, I think I ran to the end of those videos on Instagram. I don't get
seen
any more
everyone
of those.
But yeah.
There's not enough, there's not more
yeah.
of them.
Yeah.
You're just going to have to start creating your own.
Yeah. Perhaps.
Just go peeking under stalls.
Oh, I thought you meant like me.
I could see you as a voyeur. Dressed. I could see you doing that.
But they were, it was.
Peeping John.
It was the Talking Sopranos guys doing a hit on, I guess, Jimmy Fallon. Ooh. When they talked about, we were telling a story and talked about Jimmy getting a call from a Don in the middle of the night. You ever heard that story?
Oh, Fallon, yeah.
Yeah. You ever hear that story where he's just basically like, so you got a phone call in the middle of the night, and all the voice said was, we like what you're doing, but Dons don't ever bleep and wear shorts, and then hung up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, basically told Tony, like, if you're going to be a boss. Gandolfini. Yeah, Jimmy, so they called him. Yeah. Jimmy. They said, yeah, it was just like, don't ever wear shorts.
Yeah. Dons, we like what you're shorts. Doing, yeah. But a Don doesn't wear shorts.
Yeah, and then just hung up.
That's pretty wild.
So you got a phone call at 2 o'clock in the middle of the night.
That's pretty wild. You know, a lot of that stuff is true. I saw some other interview that was from, like, people, actually former, you know, like, Italian mafia members. Like, how much truth is there to The Sopranos with some of those things they did? And they said it's pretty accurate. Like, the, you know, how Uncle June gets caught, you know, like, going down on a woman.
Yeah.
And that's something they don't do.
Yeah.
That's apparently a real thing.
Well, yeah, I don't think they would make it up.
I mean, I don't know. It's
be a really weird plot point.
It's a funny show. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. There's a lot of comedy in it.
Cam, send us to break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Matlock Tire, East Tennessee.
I am just reading more Jimmy Dykes tweets. He's fired up for the SEC and he's fired up for the Vols. And it is funny. Someone pointed out that Jay Billis, I think it was one of the VolQuest guys, maybe point out Jay Billis, was on the call for the Tennessee-Alabama game and was praising Tennessee for their defense and physicality. Against Alabama, I was there, so I didn't like necessarily see it as the same way as everyone else did, but there's been a lot of talk from my friends who stayed and watched the game about how just like physical that game was and how we did kind of just play football with Alabama. And like it's just funny to me, Jay Billis on that call being like, oh man, great defense, physical team. And now it's turned into Tennessee's a dirty team. Despite, I want to remind that Duke themselves, John Shire, Filipowski, none of those guys have came out and said Tennessee was dirty. They've all just called Tennessee physical and a good team. Tough defense.
Yeah, it's not really the Duke people that feel that way.
Well, the Duke it's current the, people. It is Jay Billis who is a Duke boy.
Yeah, well, the media, the fans, and the
well.
But if the team doesn't feel that way, I mean, you got to think John Shire would, if he felt a certain type of way about it, he'd say it.
He'd defend his boys for sure.
So if they don't feel that way, who's Jay Billis to feel that way? He wasn't down there in the game.
I think Jay Billis is much like the rest of the national media, like Seth Goodman and all these other guys. Like I think they're mad because Tennessee proved them wrong. Like a lot of those guys thought Louisiana was going to beat Tennessee, and they left Tennessee for dead. Like Andy Katz didn't have Tennessee in his top 36.
Oh, yeah.
I want to say Jay Billis had Tennessee ranked 45th in the field. One spot behind Louisiana, like whenever he did his top 64.
That's kind of mean.
It is. But, like, and everyone, of course, was on Duke. Oh, look at the way this team's playing. They're hot.
Well, it's just
much like Cody McClure, who picked him to go to the national championship. He's like, hey, watch out. These boys are hot and they're talented.
That's right. Sometimes you suffer from a status thing, you know? Sometimes it's Duke. They still got that name value. A lot of people hear that name value, and I know Coach K's not there anymore, but. You still kind of trust them as a program. When it's March and it's basketball, there's just certain teams that are going to get picked to go farther more often.
That's fine. And again, I don't even want to say like, hey, ha, 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 you're dumb for picking Duke. That's fine. I'm not going to say that.
Yeah, except you're kind of dumb.
It'd be kind of mean to say that.
I'm not going to say it. Tennessee, you know, was better all year, or at least, you know, overall body of work. They weren't better in February, and they weren't better at the end of March, or the beginning of March, at the end of the season. But, like, for the overall sample size, Tennessee was better. The metrics said so, and everyone kind of had agreed that Duke wasn't as good as they had been. Then they got hot. But, like, I'm not going to be mad if you thought, hey, I'm going to ride the hot team, and like Cody said, it's Duke. And, hey, on the other side, it's Rick Barnes and Tennessee. Those guys are underachievers. I'm not going to, you know, be mad at you for thinking Duke would win, but it does make me mad when you can't just accept the fact you were wrong. I haven't seen anybody give Tennessee credit outside of Jimmy Dykes. And apparently Scott Van Pelt praised Tennessee for their physicality.
Jimmy Dykes has been praising Tennessee all year.
No, yeah, well, really since Rick Barnes has been at Tennessee. Like, yeah. He's loved Tennessee the last 5 years.
Yeah, Jimmy Dykes has never had any – I mean, he's annoying at times, but he's really never had anything bad to say about Tennessee.
Correct.
So,
correct.
You know,
but everyone else in the media wants to put Tennessee down and either call it a fluke or say they played football or rugby or.
There's some that like Tennessee, I think. There are some pro Tennessee people in the media.
Who? I haven't seen any like this week.
Well, a lot of them are, what do you call them, grifters?
Oh, like Aaron Torres. Oh, I don't I don't consider him national media.
That guy's like.
Please give me likes.
That guy creeps me out.
Yeah. Please give me likes.
He goes on the drive, you know, so.
Well, hopefully he doesn't listen to Talk Sports.
I doubt he does. I doubt he listens to The Drive either. He pretends like he's buddy-buddy with everybody, you know.
Yeah.
Guy's a grifter.
Yeah, you sound jealous.
What's a grifter?
You want to go on The Drive?
Do I want to go on The Drive? I've been on The Drive. It's nothing special. Yeah. Although I did see Russ was getting some praise yesterday. They said it's the greatest show of all time or something.
Oh, yeah?
Somebody did. Some from his basement.
I like that Russell put that wrong collars montage up, and it was basically just Philly and Westchester. Like it was.
I did hear that.
I listened to it. It was funny, but it was basically like, yeah, it's just Westchester and Philly doing their usual thing.
Just negative, negative guys, you know.
This is them doing their thing. It was funny. I laughed, but it was like it's all the same talking points about Barnes. And
I don't know if The Drive can thrive when things are good. You know what I mean?
No, I think they can. I think they'll probably be at their best when things thrive because Russell and Bear are bandwagon hoppers, and they're emotional one way or the other. Like, if things are bad, they're like you and their sky is falling. But when things are good, then they can pretend that they were right all along.
They've pretty much gushed over Barnes all year.
Nah, I've been told Russell's been pretty negative. And I said it to Russell, and Russell said he agreed with me.
No,
he had been off on the boys. They had been talking. I mean, not sky is falling, not the same as you and Miller and Hickman and them. Not that level.
Well,
but
I think there not be truth to both. Like, I don't think they definitely were not sky is falling. Russell and Bear, they're Barnes water carriers like you are.
I don't know. I said that. I am
so a realist.
Miller tweeted that, and I replied that Russell's been – sources have told me that Russell had been fairly out on the boys, and Russell said that that's an accurate statement. So, like, I think you're wrong about Russell.
No.
I think Russell would tell you the same thing.
You, Russ, and Bear, water carriers.
No.
The other guys at the station, they're just placating
water carriers.
The Hickmans, the Jakes, or whoever.
McClure's.
They're placating to the
– what can get me the most likes?
To the rabid fan base. Grouping me with them is irrational on your part because I know what they're doing. I used to do that back when I craved that attention. I don't care about that anymore. I'm in the middle. I'm a realist. I take things as they come.
Don't forget the morning show. The morning show is very negative about the boys, too.
I hadn't heard them in years.
They were just mad. They were mad after a win over Louisiana. And that's like you've gone too far.
Well, I guess
Hickman's
on the morning show.
Yeah, that's when you've gone too far and you're mad about tournament wins.
They
March.
Said what now?
They're just mad that Tennessee had beaten Louisiana, saying they were lucky. Well, not mad that Tennessee had won, but just
Nate and Houston,
just saying that they were lucky and Tennessee wasn't any good and still blah blah blah. And just,
who said that? Nate?
Houston
wouldn't say that.
I got tweets about how the morning show was still being negative about the boys. And
I feel
again,
like Houston's a water carrier too, typically.
No, I don't think so.
I feel like if you put you, Russell, Houston, and Bear as the tire, each tire on the car, you could carry so much water on that car.
I don't know if that's true. Again, I think you're putting the wrong label on Houston and Russell. I think they've been pretty negative about this team. I would think
Has definitely not been.
Russell
negative.
Told me himself he has been. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but I listen to Russell sometimes.
Okay, but maybe you listen to him after a win. Russell himself told me he's been pretty negative about the team.
I think you're looking at it in a different way.
I'm looking at it from what Russell said.
No, but I've heard Russell on the air.
And Russell knows what he thinks, and Russell told me himself.
he's different maybe than on the air, but than he is behind closed.
No, we were talking about what he's been saying on the air.
He's never been negative. He's been like, he might be down. That's where you say I'm negative. That's the same thing what you do with me. It's a different, I'm not negative. I might be down, but that doesn't mean I'm negative.
What's the difference in your opinion?
There's a difference.
Well, I'm asking you to explain the difference in your opinion.
I think
so. When you say that Tennessee is going to flame out in the first round of the tournament, being or the first down, week of the tournament, like they always do. What is that? Is that being down or being negative?
Being down about the way things are versus your overall outlook on Rick Barnes are two different. Can be two different things. I think it is two different things for Russell. It might be more the same thing for me.
Well, I'm not saying Russell wanted to fire Barnes. I'm not saying that.
He's generally pretty positive about Barnes.
Well, I think Russell. Well, Russell's the second smartest person at the station, so like I understand that.
I would put you behind me.
Russell's not going to lose sight of the forest for the trees. Like, he's very rational when it comes to that. Russell's not going to come in here and beat the drum to fire Barnes or, like, replace
him. Well, that's
him.
What I'm saying.
Russell's smarter than that. When I say being negative, I'm talking about the 2023 season.
Okay.
I'm talking about this year, this iteration of this team.
Well, that's a distinction then. Because what I'm saying
is what you're talking about.
Well, him and Bear are both Barnes guys is what I'm saying.
Okay.
They're very pro-Barnes.
Well, I think either, A, it's paying, you know, appreciation for the fact that the program's been pretty good, while also B, like, realizing, like, there's no sense in talking about replacements because he's not going anywhere and, like, he's not done anything bad enough
right
to warrant being fired. So, like, yeah, I'll give.
I'm pro Barnes. I said I'm pro Barnes too.
Literally said you were ready for something different. Anything different.
Yeah, both can be true.
How are you pro Barnes and wanting something different?
When we were losing, I was tired of watching Barnes type of games.
When we were losing, you were tired of watching us lose.
I was tired of watching Barnes type of games.
You wanted to watch any other coach in the country, you said.
That's right. Now we're not losing. Generally, though, I'm going to be pro-Barnes. Like, when you look at it from...
It is wild to me that you consider yourself pro-Barnes.
If you look at it from
the... I don't even think I'm pro-Barnes. I'm pro-program. I think the program's been in a good spot. I think the program's been really solid and healthy. Like, there's things about Rick Barnes that drives me crazy. Like, I've gotten over that. I'm
like
pro,
all
pro
the free breakfast.
No, I don't give a damn about that. The rotations, the substitutions, the way he acts sometimes talking about his team. Like, I have some issues with that, but I'm pro-program. I think the program's been in a great spot, and I think the program has been a top 15 program the last couple of years, and I think that's really good for Tennessee. And I acknowledge that there's no perfect solution. There are very few coaches in college basketball who are perfect. So, like, I just say, hey, the program's in a good spot, and that's good with me. By the way, George Mason, apparently close to losing our boy, as he's set to go. Why am I drawing a blank on his name?
Kim English?
Kim English, thank you. Kim English. Apparently going to get the Providence job.
Mm.
Maybe.
Who are they going for? Kim Spanish?
No, Kim English. They're going for Kim English.
I mean, who are they going to replace him with, I wonder?
Oh,
Kim Spanish?
Probably one of Tennessee's assistants. Of course, Rick Barnes, his first two coaching jobs, George Mason and Providence. So
he's on a trajectory.
Kim English might be on that same trajectory.
I think
Rick Barnes still has some connections up at Providence, so he might be pushing to help Kim English get that job.
I think a lot of people might be negative in the moment or
emotional.
During.
Yeah.
Well, I think emotional. That's okay, though. But I think when you ask those same people to step away 1,000 feet and look at the whole body of work,
uh-huh.
I think they're pro Barnes. I think you can be both of those things. I think you can be over. I think overall you can look at it and be like, yeah, Rick Barnes has been a really good coach for us, and I like him. I think you can also be frustrated in the moment.
How long is the moment, in your opinion? Like, during the game?
Yeah, I mean,
or the days
well, I told
after
you
the
yesterday,
game.
I'm over it by the next day.
Right, but
I feel like I can snap and clear. That's the one thing from Butch Jones I took. He used to
okay.
say, snap and clear, snap and clear. That's what you got to do. On to the next play.
I'll give you, and it's easy, as we talked about yesterday, it's easy for a casual fan like you to be able to do that. But I would say a lot of Tennessee fans aren't that way. Like, when Tennessee loses, they do not snap and clear within a day. That negativity during really, you know, the 7-8 game stretch where we weren't very good.
It was tough.
It wasn't like people were like, snap and like, okay, I'm ready for the next game. It carried over to the next game. People were mad then, and then they got mad again and just stayed mad.
Still yet, I think you would have been ridiculous to actively say you wanted to fire Barnes.
What about saying
time?
You wanted to watch anybody else coach the team?
Yeah, well, that's different.
And that you were just ready to, if you're ready for a change, yeah. And wanted to see somebody different. Yeah.
That's just me talking on the radio, though. It's not like...
So you just say things you don't mean?
Sometimes. Okay. But if you would ask me, like...
That's a nice... No, but it's like the firing squad. There's always one blank in the five guns, or however many guns, seven guns,
always,
one blank.
Always keep an exit
strategy. So with Cody, whenever he says stuff, sometimes he's just saying stuff. A lot of times he believes it, but sometimes he's just saying stuff
just
to say something.
I was doing a bit.
You just got to judge which one's which, and the result will dictate if he was being serious or not. That board bet? No, that was just for the show. I didn't mean that.
Sure, there's a little bit of show biz to it, yeah. You know?
We're just doing a show, John. It's entertainment.
What are you talking about? Yeah, you got to leave yourself an exit strategy. But, I mean, if you had really sat me down and gave me the keys and said, you can fire Rick Barnes and go get someone else.
You would have pushed the button.
I don't think I would have.
You would have pushed the button, 100%.
I don't think I
would have. Maybe not after the buzzer beater games, but after that, let's see.
Thank you for at least giving me that, because yesterday you unfairly said I was ready to melt down after the buzzer
beater
games.
If I did, I didn't. I was just doing show
business. I was positive up through, I think, A&M.
You kept saying, to your credit,
set in a little bit.
To your credit, you kept saying if you change those two games and add two wins instead of losses, your record's better. You did. I will give you credit for that.
I think when we lost at A&M, I had a little bit of apathy set in, a little bit of... That's when I started to think the most likely outcome is going to be a second-round loss. That seemed to be the way it was trending. But that didn't happen.
And I like how you, your whole side of crew, if you say carrying water for somebody, as I've just been trying to say, even keeled. Looking at the big picture, that's called carrying water in these
streets. Well, I don't know how much water you've carried. You've had a wet spot under your chair all season.
Yeah, for me,
just from dripping, Barnes water rolling off of you. But
96
bulls.
It's so funny.
96 bulls.
Me reading numbers to you,
stats
and giving
by
you,
will.
Yeah, me giving you statistics and reading numbers means that I am carrying water for saying the team is good.
You've just
it's
been
so
very
funny.
Positive.
It's so funny. Well, the team's good, and I've maintained the team has good pieces, and like it's something that people don't talk about, and maybe we haven't done a good job talking about it. But like for as much as the conversation about Ziegler going out. I haven't seen very many people saying, hey, guys, during Tennessee's bad stretch, they were without their 2 5-star wings. Like Josiah Jordan-James and Julian Phillips weren't playing.
Well, and then people would just say when they were playing, we had lost.
No, we were pretty good when Josiah plays. But like everyone's like wrote the team off because Ziegler was out. But meanwhile, like we were overall probably healthier than we had ever been.
You always say you believe in positive reinforcement, and I like that. I appreciate that.
It's funny
I like stats by Will, and I like KenPom, and I like all these numbers.
Well, I think all those matter.
But sometimes it's hard to listen to that kind of talk about metrics when you're losing, when you're 2-5 over your last seven,
trust
when you go through
metrics.
Those stretches, it's hard to want to.
Basketball season's long.
I know, but a lot of people don't want to hear that. It's hard to hear that. And so, it can get a little frustrating if you're losing.
30 or 40% of people on Twitter that follow me probably think I hate Rick Barnes, though. So it's just funny to me that you say that I carry water when most people think I hate him.
Yeah.
Or not most, but a lot of people think I hate him.
Well, Twitter users are generally not very smart.
And, well, I would say there's also, like, the Twitter users are just seeing my tweets during the games. And I get frustrated in the games. And
Some of them are probably bots.
I criticize and praise certain things. And people are like, oh, you just criticize this. I'm like, yeah, I didn't like that. And I like this. I could do both. I'm not gonna.
That's
blindly,
what I've been saying.
I'm not gonna. Well, in the game, I'm not gonna blindly defend every move. I'm gonna say, hey, I didn't like this, or hey, I liked this. And to another point, like most of the people who are probably thinking I hate Rick Barnes don't listen to the radio show.
No.
And hear the way I talk about the team and
no,
that
they,
I've been.
They just
pretty
know your
steadfast.
Twitter personality. And yeah. That's all they know.
The water carrier.
I know you guys got to stay tight with the university to keep,
yeah, that's
keep
me.
All your privileges.
Well, hell, we got ran off the air if I just let you and Cam sit here and Chicken Little does the sky is falling the entire time. Cam was the most negative person in town.
No, I was correct. I said we're going to go whatever we went down the stretch and be a 4 seed.
You said
we were going to
lose to Alabama. You said Alabama was going to kill us. You weren't correct.
Well,
there's
I was
no
correct
you
on the record.
Cam.
I picked the wrong teams, but I said we'd end up a 4 seed. We ended up a 4 seed.
You said we were going to lose the first game of the NCAA tournament, too.
But then I saw our draw, and I
the old hedge.
And I came to
the old hedge.
Jesus.
If we would have lost Louisiana, you'd have came in here. I told you.
No, I would have been
Rick Barnes in March. I told you. Nice hedge by you, though. It was smart. That's how you get to be right no matter what.
I could tell. I told you.
That's how you get to be right
Everybody
no matter
was
what.
Against us, so that meant it was the year.
Yeah.
You're one step above Adam Hickman. Maybe below. I don't know.
One step above Cody, too.
I'm in the middle. The way that you stay in the middle is you change your opinion day to day.
That's right.
That's how you stay in the middle.
It's all showbiz, baby.
I'm on the fence.
Hour one of the books. We'll kick off hour two of headlines. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.